Thank you for a church that is growing. Thank you for a church that is increasing. Thank you that the souls are multiplying. The sheep are giving birth to more sheep. And more people are joining our church because of the great things God is doing here. Say, my church is growing. Say, my church is growing in beauty and excellence. Say, the church is prosperous. We have no lack of members. We have no lack of souls. Say, this is like a soul clinic. This is a place where souls are constantly being worked on. Because God is here and His presence is here. The church is growing. An anointing for winning souls is coming upon us. Say, miracles and signs and wonders are multiplying in our midst. And the signs and wonders and the many testimonies of our members are drawing more and more people. More and more people are being drawn to what the Lord is doing in our midst. What a mighty God we serve. And not only is this church growing, but our churches everywhere are also growing. Every new church we've planted this year is growing. Every new church is receiving new life. The Holy Spirit is causing there to be an increase in wisdom, an increase in stature, an increase in favor with God, and an increase in favor with man. God is blessing the work of our hands. Our churches will never be the same. Our churches will never be the same. Our churches will never be the same. Say, my church will never be the same. I am a pillar in this church. And as long as I'm here, this church will never be the same. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Lord. There is growth everywhere. Say, there is growth everywhere. There is growth everywhere. There is blessing everywhere. There is joy in this church. There is peace in this church. And there is prosperity in this church. I feel the presence of God in this church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to make confessions. Amen. The Bible says a man will eat good out of the fruit of his lips. Amen. And the Bible says from the increase of his lips will he be satisfied. So your satisfaction in life, your satisfaction with whatever you're doing actually is in your mouth. Amen. And your increase will come from what you say. So you need to learn to say good things. Hallelujah. You need to learn to help yourself by saying good things. Good things about yourself, good things about your church, good things about your family, and good things about whatever else God is doing in your life. Amen. All right. Now, today I'm continuing to share with you because we are still in our 5-7 season. Amen. And our 5-7 season is entering another phase, or it's kind of concluding with what we call Christmas card 5-7, isn't it? Christmas card 5-7. And like I explained to you last Sunday, Christmas card 5-7 simply means each one of us will buy a book as a gift for someone. Amen. Instead of a Christmas card, perhaps instead of a Christmas present, you will buy a book. Amen? Many people people you work with, people you go to school with, and so on, can benefit from some of the contents in this or in these wonderful books here. Hallelujah. A book like How to Know the Will of God. As we enter a new year, as we go into 2015, you know, it's important to know the will of God. Don't you think so? I believe people would like to know how they can be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because according to Psalm 23, when sheep experience green pastures and still waters, it is the result of having been led there. Hallelujah. It is because they are led that they get to experience these things. A sheep that is not led or cannot be led cannot experience green pastures. Do you understand? He cannot be led to or cannot experience still waters, because the Bible says he leadeth me beside what? Still waters. Hallelujah. So if you're going to experience still waters, peace and tranquility, and enjoy your life, you need to learn how to be led by the Spirit. What do you think? And that is one of the reasons why this book will become very important next year. Amen. And every time when you're entering a new year or entering a new phase of your life, it's important to know, you know, where everything is at. Hallelujah. Every new place requires some kind of a GPS. Hallelujah. You know, when we moved into LA, my GPS became more important than it ever had become. Do you understand? Because we're in a new place. We've never been here before. And to be able to navigate around here, you need a GPS. You need something that knows where things are. Something that knows where to go, that shows you where to go, even how to avoid the traffic. Because my GPS tells me sometimes how to avoid the traffic. Hallelujah. And so, perhaps, in order for you not to be stuck somewhere behind a long pile of vehicles that are not moving, you need the Holy Spirit to guide you and to lead you so that you can avoid being stuck in the coming year. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, who can avoid? The Holy Spirit knows all the back roads of life. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit knows how you can avoid being stuck, how you can avoid being delayed, how you can get to places and get to your destiny in good time. Hallelujah. But you need to know how to be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that is one of the reasons why this book would make a great present for someone. Don't you think it will make a great present for someone? This book is more valuable than a gift card from Macy's. There is no t-shirt in Macy's that can compare with what this book will bring to you. There is no handbag, even if it's on sale, that can bring any to you the blessings that a book like this can bring to you. Hallelujah. And of course, there is no pair of shoes that will bring to your life what this book will bring to you. Amen. So get a book like this for someone. You can buy them, you know. He that hath. This is a book on prosperity. Hallelujah. Especially at the turn of the year, people like to know and like to read something that will make them prosper. Isn't it? So this will make a good book for that such people. Hallelujah. Backsliding is another important book. It's a book that talks about backsliding and how to avoid it. How not to backslide and the causes of backsliding. You know, because sometimes from year to year, you begin to realize that you are not who you used to be. You get it? And sometimes you don't even know how you got where you are. And if you know how you got to where you are, you might be able to climb out easier. Isn't it? That is why this book, Backsliding, can make a great present for someone. Hallelujah. A lot of people you work with, a lot of people you go to school with, have been Christians or have been committed Christians before, but have backslidden and are walking in many different things and places which are not helpful to their Christian lives. You know, name it, take it, and claim it is a great book. And one of the things I love about this book, you know, the confessions I was making with you earlier come from this book. Hallelujah. It has many different kinds of confessions. Confessions for breaking family curses and bondages. Hallelujah. Confessions for overcoming complex situations. Isn't it? Because life is complex. And it comes with complex situations. Confessions for overcoming disappointment and emotional problems. Hey, everything is here. Hallelujah. Everything is here. So you can buy a present. No matter what the person does, you can have a book for that person. Daily Solutions is one of my favorite ones, because this one is a one-size-fits-all kind of book. Isn't it? You see, this book here, Model Marriage, is a very powerful one. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but you can't buy this present for everyone. I don't know why you buy this for Jason. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you bless Jason with Daily Solutions, it's going to be a blessing to him. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, Daily Solutions. So this is a book that will work for your boss. You know, everyone needs something to be able to read something. You know, I just read just outside that somebody had made a book like this, and the person said, the way you start your day determines what kind of a day you have. You know, you could buy a book like this for your boss and just write in it, the way you start your day determines what kind of a day you will have. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so many people think that, you know, the kind of day you have depends on, you know, a cup of coffee and, you know, how much sugar you put in it, or, you know, but it's days are not determined by coffee. Amen. The way the day goes is not made by the coffee, is not determined by coffee, but rather the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And sometimes what people need, in addition to the bread they ate in the morning, is the other component of life, which is every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. So this is a great book. It works for everyone, and it's going to be a powerful one. This is they have all these little pocket books here, you know, beauty, all about fornication. Wow. All about fornication. Red book. Too powerful. You get it. So Christmas is a red season, isn't it? This is a great book you can buy for someone, you know, and other little books like that. How to be a good assistant. If you have a friend who is not even a pastor but works in a church, you know, goes to another church but they help in the church, you can buy them How to Be a Good Assistant. A Good Assistant is also a good book for wives. You can buy it for somebody and say, this is a good present for you, how to assist your husband. You know, The Sweet Influences of the Holy Spirit. This is another favorite book of mine. It is very, very powerful. The Art of Hearing, How to Hear the Voice of God, very similar to How to Know the Will of God. And then Tell Them is another book. This book has about 120 reasons why you must witness and evangelize. So you can buy this for one of your friends as well. You know, if you know someone who is a pastor or a husband, The Art of Leadership, your boss, this will make a great book for your supervisor. I tell you, if you buy this book for your supervisor, he will never let you work on a Sunday ever again. He will release you for your church. This is How to Buy Your Liberty, How to Get Out of Working on Sundays, you know. And then Loyalty and Disloyalty, Born Again, you know. And this, of course, for people who are married, people who are getting married, people who hope to get married, people who were once married, you know, this is a book for all those people. Hallelujah. It's for those who are married now. It's for those who used to be married, because they can learn how it all fell apart, you know. So many things here for Christmas. So how many think Christmas card 527 is a good idea? Right. So I really want to encourage you, everybody, get a book and just give it to someone. Amen. Say, this is my little present for you this year. poison is for people who talk a lot and don't know how to talk. That's a book that Solomonic success is here, and then Davidic success. There was one book I was looking for, I can't find it, but it has to do with demons and how to deal with them, you know. So if you have friends who struggle with different things, perhaps a good book to buy for them is Demons and How to Deal with Them. Say amen. All right, Father, bless us as we buy these books and present them to our friends in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now let's go quickly to the Bible and continue to read and study this book. I think last week I was sharing with you from chapter 7, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, how to pray with all kinds of prayer. And the key scripture was Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, which says, praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. So we understood last week that the scripture does make it clear that there are kinds of prayer, and God encourages us to pray with all kinds of prayer. So then we started talking about some of the different kinds of prayer. This book lists 8 different kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. And we went through the first one, which is the prayer of consecration. This is the prayer where you, in humility, recognize that your best life is really left in the hands of the Lord. Amen. Where you believe that God knows best and that you can trust Him to take care of you, and that you would choose His will, knowing His ways are higher than your ways and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so Jesus prayed the prayer of consecration when He prayed in the Garden of Eden and said, you know, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Hallelujah. As thou wilt, not as I will, but as you will. Hallelujah. You must always believe that God can choose better. God has a better taste. God has a higher wisdom. And that for everything that you can choose for yourself, God can choose better for you. Hallelujah. Always think of yourself as a child of God. Are you a child of God? How come when it comes to choosing between what your will is and what God's will is, you seem to prefer your will? To choose your will is to choose the will of a child, isn't it? And between a child and an adult, I believe the adult makes better choices. Hallelujah. That is why children need care, isn't it? That is why adults have to choose for children for a good part of their lives until they mature. Hallelujah. Many things that we choose for ourselves, we choose them as children. We choose them in immaturity. We choose them because we don't understand enough. We choose them because we are not spiritual enough. But our Father who is in heaven, He knows everything. And when He chooses for you, He chooses what is best for you. What best serves your interest and what will bring you to where you desire to be. Amen?
Amen.
So His will for your life is better than your own plan and your own will for your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so that is the prayer of consecration, and you must pray it often. Amen?
Amen.
You must pray it often. Always, always, you know, support your prayers with a prayer of consecration. Maybe conclude your prayer with consecration. Say, Lord, I know I've talked a lot, but, you know, not my will, but Lord, let your will be done. Hallelujah. It is only the devil who tells God's people that if you leave it in God's hands, that's your end. That's how to mess it up, by giving it to God. Because God will always choose bitter experiences for you. God will always choose the bad jobs for you. God will always choose the bad people for you. God will always give you something that's not nice. He'll always send you to a place that you wouldn't like to go to. That is the devil. Hallelujah. But God will always give you the best that is suited for you. And especially that allows his plans and his purposes for your life to be fulfilled. And your best life really is to live in the heart of God's will for your life. Say amen. Amen. So don't be afraid to throw it all to the Lord. God will take care of you by the grace of God. Hallelujah. By now you should know that God is good at taking care of you. Isn't it? Because he has taken care of you up to this point. And he will take care of you as we go along. Say amen. Amen. All right, number two, let's go on. So we're continuing from where we left off. Number two kind of prayer is praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. And the Bible says in Jude and verse 20, it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Amen. Amen. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What is praying in the Spirit? The answer is in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." Hallelujah. In the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So when you are praying in the spirit, you are actually praying in tongues. Amen. And when you are praying in tongues, you are praying in the spirit. Because according to this verse, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue does not speak unto men but unto God, because no human being understands them." But in the spirit, isn't it? "He speaketh mysteries." So speaking in tongues is praying in the spirit. And that is a type of prayer, amen, that you must also include in your prayer life. I'm getting this echo. Is there a way to, you know, remove it? Okay. So praying in tongues is praying in the spirit. God wants you to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. And Bishop says, "A large percentage of my prayer is prayer in the spirit." Hallelujah. And he does that for two reasons. He says one reason is that when you pray, in the spirit, you know, God directs your prayer himself. He leads you to ask him for what is necessary. Hallelujah. Amen. He leads you to ask him for what is necessary. Amen. Amen. Now, last week or so, we were reading a verse in Romans that said that, "For we do not know how to pray for, or what to pray for as we ought." You know, that is, we do not know what to pray for, and perhaps even how to pray for that particular thing in a way that, you know, makes you succeed. Isn't it? It is like filling an application the wrong way. Have you ever filled an application the wrong way? Yeah. And then when you fill an application the wrong way, you just don't get what the application is supposed to bring you. Many times the application is even sent back to you because you didn't sign it, or you didn't answer it properly, or, you know, you put something where it didn't belong, and the whole application is messed up. Now, sometimes the best way to complete an application is to go there and ask the one you are applying to help you to fill the application. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Have you done that before? You go to a place, and then the one who is to whom you are applying, the one you who is actually waiting to receive your application, that person guides you and says, put this here and put this here and put this here. Every application form has questions and sections that are not relevant. And even when they are relevant, sometimes even the answer you don't know. You don't know how to answer this question. But the one who works there knows which of the points on the application you must answer by all means, and other parts of the application that are not so necessary. So sometimes the person will say, fill this part, fill this part, fill this part, just leave the rest. Has it happened to you before? The person says, just leave the rest. So suddenly your application is through because you were guided by the one who you're applying to, the one who is going to work with the application, is the very person who helped you to fill it out. And that person told you where to put your name. You can't go wrong with such an application. You can't go wrong. When you're doing that, often that application process, just a formality, is like you have to just fulfill something. But sometimes the thing is even granted already. The one you can never be sure about is the one you did yourself. Are you following what I'm saying? Because when you fill it yourself and you complete it and you send it, you don't know where you went wrong. You can never be 100% sure that that application is going to go through. But when you get there and they guide you, when they guide you, hallelujah, when they guide you, when you go to the DMV and the person over there says, you know, put this here and put this here and put this here, put this here, you do know that what you're applying for, you're going to get it. Hallelujah. But when you mess it all up, with your own ideas, you know, you put your last name where your first name is supposed to be. You put your date of birth where today's date is supposed to be, you know, and the whole thing is just messed up. And so what is today's date? And then you put, you know, 10th of March, 1968. Hey, it's not going to work. Hallelujah. So you need help. And that person will help you. Well, that is exactly what happens when you're praying in tongues. When you're praying in the Spirit, God is guiding you through the Spirit to pray for what you must pray for as you ought. Hallelujah. God is guiding you to leave out the things that are not relevant. God is guiding you just like the person at the application who said, don't bother with this, don't bother with this, don't bother with this. It's on the form, but the one who is receiving the form says, don't bother with it. Hallelujah. Just go to this. Just give me this and give me this and give me that. And then sign over here. And that is it. Hallelujah. So God leads you to ask for what is necessary. That is why praying in tongues is one of the most effective ways of praying. Because the Spirit is going to lead you to pray for what is necessary. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the Spirit gave them utterance when they spoke in tongues. When the Spirit gives you utterance, it means the Spirit is giving you the words to say. Hallelujah! What better deal could you have that the Spirit is leading you to pray in the right way, to ask for the right things in the right way. Hallelujah. And your mind is unfruitful because your mind always messes things up. Hallelujah. And so God gives you this special help in your prayer life. The other important reason why you should pray in the Spirit is that it builds you up. Hallelujah. Amen. The verse we read says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Hallelujah. Just building up yourself on your most holy faith. So when you pray in tongues, you are building up yourself. Hallelujah. He says you are building up your faith. You are keeping yourself actually in the love of God. Because it says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And verse 21, keeping or keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Hallelujah. So he says, but you, beloved, build up yourself in your most holy faith. You know, then he lists how you do it. Praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the next verse, praying in the Holy Ghost, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. So it's a chain of things that we are supposed to do as we look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Hallelujah. So praying in the Holy Ghost helps to keep you also in the love of God. Amen. And helps to keep you on fire and keep you ready for eternal life. Hallelujah. And so we need to pray. We need to pray always in the Holy Ghost. That is how you charge yourself up spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4 says, the one who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up. Hallelujah. He edifies himself. That means he builds himself up or he charges up himself. Amen. With a lot of use, with a lot of exposure, every battery runs down, isn't it? When you draw on a battery and you draw on it and you draw on it and you draw on it and it's not replaced, the energy is not replaced, the battery just runs down. Hallelujah. Amen. It's one of the reasons why they don't encourage you to maybe play your music for a long time in your car when the engine is not on. Because when the engine is running, the engine has a mechanism, or there is a way that the engine sort of replaces the energy that is lost from running it. Isn't it? Yeah, there's something in every car called an alternator. The purpose of an alternator is to charge the battery. You get it? So when you run the engine sort of turns, and the turning of the engine involves a turning of the alternator. And then the alternator, as it's being turned, generates some power that charges the battery, which in turn powers, you know, the electricals in the car and keeps the whole cycle running. Do you get it? Now, when you stop the engine and the vehicle is not moving and the engine is not running, it means that process has stopped. But if you keep your music running, turn the lights on and everything, it means the light or the energy is being used, but it's not being replaced. Do you get it? And it is, you never know what is happening. It is only when you are ready to go. When the police officer pulls by your car and says you are parked in the wrong place, you need to go. That's when you start the engine and you turn it on and you see, wow, you run your battery down without replacing it. And you are stuck in the wrong place. Hallelujah. And sometimes that is how it is when you're ready to get up and go. When life calls on you to sort of respond with a challenge that it throws in your path, it is then that you rise up to get up and go and realize that your battery actually is run down. There's no life in you. And then you're stuck in the wrong place. Hallelujah. The way to get yourself out of such places is to charge your battery. Hallelujah. And to keep yourself charged up so that you can get up and go. Everybody needs a get up and go power. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. When things are weighing down on you, when things are just dropping themselves on you, when you have more on your plate than you can deal with, you need some kind of get up and go power. To be able to put yourself together and to rise up and respond to the challenges in your day and to move forward and still with energy and strength to overcome, knowing that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hallelujah. But to be able to overcome, you need that spiritual energy. And it comes from charging yourself up by praying in tongues. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage all of you to speak in tongues a lot. Amen. Amen. Pray in tongues a lot because it's going to be a great blessing to your Christian life. Say amen. Amen. Number three is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. And the Bible says in James 5:15 that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Wow. If you knew a prayer that saves a sick person, wouldn't you want to pray that prayer? Yeah. So it means that we all need to include the prayer of faith in our list of or types of prayers that we pray. Amen. You need to pray the prayer of faith. Now, the prayer of faith is found in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, where the Bible says that if you pray and you believe it, it says, "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Hallelujah. Believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Hallelujah. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Hallelujah. That means God recognizes that there is some kind of a time lag, if you like, you know, between the prayers you pray and seeing what you prayed for. Hallelujah. But what the Bible is saying is that at the time you pray a prayer of faith, you must believe that you receive the things you have prayed for. You have to believe that you have received the things you have prayed for. See, if I told you right now that I'm transferring $10,000 into your bank account, there's no way you can see it now. Do you understand? Right? So you, if you believe, you have, the Bible is saying that you have to believe it. Now, when you go to the ATM and you start punching there, you go to the ATM because you believe what I told you. Do you understand? And when you start punching your numbers at the ATM, you are doing it because you believe, I told you I put this money in your account. And because you believe, you go to the ATM, and then when you start to draw, you start to experience what you believe. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God wants you to believe. He says, when you pray, believe that you receive it. That is the prayer of faith. You believe. The prayer is charged up with faith. That prayer, he says, it is a prayer which has great expression of faith. Amen. And they are usually effective against sickness and disease. Hallelujah. So you must pray the prayer of faith also. You must pray and believe that you receive what you ask for. Believe that God has heard you. Believe that God has answered that prayer. That what you prayed for is going to be as you ask God to make it. Hallelujah. And that is going to happen by the grace of God. And the Bible says, you shall have it. You shall have it. You shall have it. So when you open your eye after your prayer of faith and you don't see any change, it shouldn't affect your faith. Because God said, it's coming. You shall have it. Hallelujah. So that's number three. Then number four is prayer of confession of sins. Amen. Now, this is another very important prayer that we all must pray. Hallelujah. Which is a prayer to confess our sins on a regular basis. In fact, it says prayer which does not include prayer for forgiveness is not sufficient. Do you understand? Yeah, because it means that you have become a very presumptuous individual who feels that there is nothing wrong with you. How could you approach God like that and act like there's nothing wrong? Or you have done nothing wrong. We must always ask for mercy. We must pray for it. If we say that we are perfect, we are foolishly deceived. Because according to 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Hallelujah. It means if the truth is in you, one of the things you will say is that I have sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the truth is in you, one of the things you will say is that I have sin. I have sin. I have sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Just because you don't feel it or you cannot see it doesn't mean it's not there. Hallelujah. Just because you cannot see it or just because you do not recognize it doesn't mean it is not there. In fact, The more mature you become in the Lord, the more invisible your sins become. Yeah. Because, you know, your sins become less obvious. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, grown-ups, for example, get dirty in a different way from kids. Do you understand? When I was a kid, the way you knew that my clothes were ready to be washed, I mean, it was very obvious. When you look at a kid, you just look at the kid and you know that they need to change their clothes. Do you understand? Because their clothes are filled with stains in very visible and obvious places. Now, as you grow up, your dirt kind of hides itself. You get it? We are dirty in less visible places. You know? So like a person is wearing a shirt with his tie on and everything. Meanwhile, it's all black around here. Do you understand? Under the arms and all these places which are not visible, you don't see it. Do you understand? Yeah. And so you will see that if you even had to choose, you might actually choose the child's dirt. You would actually prefer the chocolate stains because you can see them. They are more visible. But the mom, look, there are certain grown-up jackets and clothes that should not be thrown on you. Are you getting what I'm saying? If they throw their jackets on you, you will rise from the dead. Even though you can't see any stain on it. Do you see what I'm saying? When you look at it, when I was a kid, I used to wonder, why do they wash my dad's clothes? You know, because we had this person who would wash my dad's clothes, you know, and I was wondering, because you never saw any food stains or the chocolate stains or juice stains. You never saw any of those things on his white shirt. And yet it urgently needed to be washed. And they washed it every time. They washed his clothes every week. Do you see what I'm saying? Ours were washed on a daily basis. You get it? But you could understand why our clothes needed washing. Because they were so dirty, especially around here. You could see it. It's so dirty. I mean, and the thing is very obvious. But as we grew up, the dirt started to vanish from here. And then it started to enter secret places. Do you see what I'm saying? So you can be with us, but you don't know that this shirt has not been washed in a long, long time. Because it's grown up debt. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? So grown up debt is a little different. And when we are maturing in Christ, our sins also tend to be different. As the Lord weans us from the obvious sins of fornication and lust and uncleanness and drinking and smoking and so on, you know, we start to deceive ourselves into thinking that because you can't be found or you can't be seen doing any of these more obviously sinful things, then it's possible that you are not in any kind of sin. But what has actually happened is not that you stopped sinning, but your sins have become less visible. The form has changed. The nature has changed. And it requires a bit more investigation to see. Because if you wanted to know that someone's shirt is dirty, you will no longer see it by looking at it. Do you understand? But you just ask, how long have you worn this? Then whether you see debt or not, you know that this has to be washed. Isn't it? Yeah. And sometimes you just have to bring your nose a little, you know, and then you start to see, no, even though I don't see any debt, this thing still needs to go in the washer just like a grown-up. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The sins we commit as mature Christians, they change. The sin of pride, for example, is not a sin you can see obviously on someone. It's very difficult to find pride on people. In fact, if you tell them they are proud, they will not even believe it. Hallelujah. often the announcement, one of the ways that you know people are proud is when they make a claim to the exact opposite. When they say, as for me, I'm a very, very humble person. Hallelujah. Yeah. They start by announcing and saying, as for me, I'm a very humble person, down to earth, easy to relate with, easy going. That's how you know you're talking to the one who is most difficult. The least easy going person is the one who claims to wear a label, I am easy going. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's for me. Look, my matter is very simple. You know, that is, you now you know you are talking to one of the most complex people. You know, he's so complex that it's simplified into a summary that I am very simple. Hallelujah. So you see that your sins, one of the common sins the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs, it says a proud look. How do you discern pride in someone's looks? How do you see? Just take a look at someone and there is pride in the look. But God recognizes such things. Wow. You get it? And the Bible says it's an abomination. God doesn't like it at all. So yes, he didn't steal anything. Yes, he didn't tell a lie. Yes, he wasn't caught in fornication. And yet God is as unhappy with him, perhaps even more unhappy with him than someone else who was caught in these kinds of things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is no wonder that the Lord seemed to like David very much, because there was a lot of things he could see in David that he didn't see in other people, or other things he saw in people that he didn't see in David, in spite of David's obvious sin of fornication and adultery and so on. Hallelujah. So you see someone like David who committed a sin of, you know, taking someone's wife and killing the person. I mean, these are very obvious sins. You see, these are the stains that show up here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, these are the stains that show up in your clothes, and they are so visible, you know. Those are the stains that are visible. But when you take someone like Saul, who also sinned by disobeying God, and the Lord said to him, I told you to destroy all the Amalekites and everything, and then Saul comes back. He hasn't done that. And then he's arguing. Do you understand? He's trying to make a point and trying to explain that, you know, he did it. Even if he did it for a good reason. He said he kept those animals so he can offer a sacrifice to God. See, it's even complex. How do you discern sin in something that someone is doing to make God's work and God's service better? You see, that is a sin that you need special eyes to see. Are you getting it? Because once it shows up as something that is being done by God, suddenly the sin in it is disguised. It's hidden. The guy has kept some animals, but he wasn't trying to have a barbecue. He wasn't trying to eat more chicken. He wasn't trying to fill up his deep freezer. That's not what he was trying to do. He was trying to make sacrifices in the temple easier. Do you understand? He was trying to help with the worship. He was trying to help with the music of the church. He was even trying to give some money. Is it possible to see sin in someone's offering? Something that someone seems to be doing to help advance the cause of God, and yet God is so unhappy with what the person is doing. You have to be God to be able to detect that there is sin here. Because it's so disguised by the gesture. It's so disguised by what the person is doing. So only God can still look at it and say, look, you may say that you did it for a good reason. You were doing it to help the church. But I hate this. I don't like it. And I reject you because of that. Wow. Is it not amazing? It's fantastic. Hallelujah. That is why we have to walk in humility and be very careful. Another one is stubbornness. You know, when you're growing up, you see, you become more intellectually alert. Do you understand? And you don't just accept things just because it's passing by, or some idea or something just because someone said it. You begin to become more argumentative. You always want to argue, and you always want to, as long as you feel that you have a point, as long as you feel like you have something to say, or you know, it's very difficult to just lay your cards down, lay your points down, and just decide that, you know, I'm yielding or submitting to what I'm being told. The older you get, the more difficult it is for you to just accept things. That's why sometimes you see that older people cannot even receive preaching. Their ability to receive preaching is so impaired. Because the way you are, your mind cannot help but think. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. When someone says something, or someone is preaching and they say something, sometimes even without intention, the analysis just comes naturally. Because you are sort of trained to think. That is why the scripture says, lean not on your understanding, because your understanding just stands up. Wow. As soon as information is thrown at it, or something is suggested, it just comes at it. And it takes a lot of humility to be able to, you know, just calm down and settle down and yield. Yield to what is being said. That's what Saul couldn't have. So he was just explaining. I mean, what is wrong with it? What is wrong with it? Then Saul said that, you know, so someone said, what about the bleating that I hear over there? You know, because Saul said, as far as I'm concerned, I've done what God said I should do. You know, and someone says, what about the bleating I hear in the background? And Saul says, the people are the ones who brought them. You see, so Saul is saying, look, there's a difference between me and the people. There's a difference between what I have done and what the people have done. You can't put what the people have done on me. Right now, you are talking about, who are you talking about? Who has disobeyed God? You say, me or the people? Do you understand? Me or the people? Someone says, you. He says, yes. Now, did you see me carrying a sheep and bringing them? No, I didn't bring any sheep. It is the people who brought the sheep. Do you understand? Excuse me, Samuel. You know, sometimes the way you go about things, you know, you make me have to say certain things that I don't want to say. You know, and I know if I talk right now, you're going to say I'm rebellious, and you're going to say that I'm disloyal, and you're going to say all these kinds of things. So, well, I'm not going to say anything. Do you understand? But can you not make a difference between the people and myself? Do you understand? If the people bring something, how do I become the one who brings it? You see, and this kind of thing, it just makes sense to the mind. But you don't have an idea that God just loathes it. God detests it. God says stubbornness. The fact that something has to be explained to you over and over and over and over before you get it. He says it is the same as witchcraft. You're as bad as a witch. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you today? So you can see that when you're grown up, your sins just change their form. They are less visible, but they are still there. Hallelujah. And that is why you should not come to God based on what you can see. You must come to God based on who you are. Knowing who you are. Knowing that you are the type that is capable of sinning. Knowing that you are human. Knowing that even in your best thought and with your best intentions, you may still be at fault. You may still be guilty of something. That you may be wrong about something. That you may be guilty in an area that you haven't even thought about. That you do not know it all. And you come and you throw yourself on His mercy and you ask Him to forgive you. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So confession of sins has to be part of your prayer every time. You must pray for mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You must pray and ask God for mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. You must never stop praying for mercy. Can I have an amen? That's why He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Say amen. Amen. Right, next one. Short and powerful prayers, number 5. Short and powerful prayers. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 36, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In this scripture, Jesus found himself in a crisis situation. He and his disciples were caught up in the middle of a very dangerous storm, and their very lives were being threatened. There was no time to find a quiet place to pray for the hand of God to move on their behalf. So he just prayed a short but powerful prayer, and the storm ceased. Hallelujah. Amen. The engine of this kind of prayer is faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And authority. Hallelujah. And the more you know the scriptures, the more of a spiritual authority you become. Hallelujah. Amen. The more of a spiritual authority you become, you have more spiritual authority as you know the scriptures more and more and more, and also as you build yourself up in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus prayed a short but very powerful prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Then in John chapter 11, Jesus encountered another situation that demanded an immediate response. He needed a miracle for his family friends. His old pal Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Everyone was looking up to him. Could he go away and pray for 3 hours? The answer is no. He couldn't go and pray for 3 hours. He had to pray instantly right there. Wow. Hallelujah. So he had to pray a short prayer, and he needed results right there. Hallelujah. Listen to the prayer. It says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which I stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. That is the prayer. Hallelujah. So Jesus prayed this prayer, and suddenly Lazarus came back to life. Amen. So these types of prayers come in handy when you are faced with a crisis situation. There is no time to retreat and pray. Pray a short and powerful prayer when you need to, and believe that God has heard you. After the short and powerful prayer, act boldly just like Jesus did. You will have 100% results. Hallelujah. 100% with it. One of the things I enjoy watching is watching Bishop at the Crusades, you know, when he prays a short and powerful prayer and yet so many miracles. Do you understand? Because you look at all these thousands, he couldn't lay hands on all of them. He doesn't even know what is in the crowd there. Doesn't know who is sick of what. But he prays a prayer and believes it, and the Lord answers it. And the proof of it is the testimonies that we begin to see at these crusades. Hallelujah. Amen. So believe in short and powerful prayers. See, sometimes the devil tells you, you know, this prayer is not powerful because it's not long. It is not long. And so you find yourself going around in circles and winding, sometimes repeating yourself, saying the same things over and over again. It's not the length of the prayer. It's the faith that is in the power. It's the faith that is in the prayer. Hallelujah. It is the power in the prayer is the faith that is backing that prayer. And so believe it. When all you can do is to pray a short prayer and believe, and God will bless you. That's one of the reasons why you must keep your battery charged. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why you must keep your battery charged. Because sometimes when you see a situation, you know, one of the things that happens to me on the plane sometimes is when I see something in the air, then I want to take a picture of it, and I'm trying to reach out for my phone, and I'm turning it on, and I turn it on, and then the phone is taking its time to write. By the time the phone actually comes up, the thing I want to take. But recently, they are allowing us to keep our phones on. You see what I'm saying? So it's a lot easier. Hallelujah. Because there are some shots and some scenes, they call for instant action. You need to just capture it as it's happening. And you only have a few seconds to do that. You can't afford, ask the, you know, maybe you're at a wedding, the couple is about to kiss, you're about to take a photograph, you see your battery, you say, excuse me, you go and plug your phone, you want to charge your phone for, you need some 10 minutes of juice before the wedding continues. It's not going to happen. Hallelujah. That is why you should have charged your phone before you came to the wedding. Hallelujah. You should have charged your phone before you came to the wedding. Because when it's action time, it's not charging time. You need to act now. Hallelujah. So take the advantage and charge your batteries and charge your life and bring power into your life in the morning. That is why one of the great blessings we have in our church is our 5 a.m. prayer. And I really want to encourage you always to keep praying and keep joining the line in the morning, because it sets you up for the day and gives you some power and gives you some charge for whatever is waiting for you in the day. Amen. Amen. Number 6 is the long prayer. There are times when it's important to spend a long time in prayer, isn't it? Just like your phone, there are short charges and long charges, isn't it? So there's the overnight charge, then there is the quick short charge, because, you know, while you eat lunch, you just plug it somewhere, just to move it from 37% to about 55. You see, just so that you can have a little more energy for the rest of the day, isn't it? That kind of a charge is different from the kind of charge that takes it from 0 or 1% to 100 overnight. Do you understand? And everybody needs periodic long prayer seasons combined with your short prayer seasons. Hallelujah. Jesus went up, Luke 6:12, he went up in those days to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. So we have that too. Amen. That's why we pray Friday nights as well. Amen. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Hallelujah. So you will notice that in both cases, Jesus spent long hours praying. A great while is a long time, isn't it? All night is also a long time. So we must develop the art of praying for several hours. Start with 1 hour, graduate to 3 hours, then progress to 5 and 7 hours. Learn to pray all day and all night. You will experience 100 answers to your prayers. There are times when you need to spend many hours in prayer. If Jesus had to pray for long hours, you will also have to pray for long hours. You think about it. The one who came from God, he has to talk to him for a long time. You see, you are from this earth. You don't have time to talk to him for a long time. The results are obviously going to be different. Hallelujah. So you can pray on the same topic for hours. Jesus did it. It's not useless repetition. It is praying like Jesus did. Amen. Number 7, loud prayers. Loud prayers. A lot of people have a problem with this one. So prayer is a private thing. Why do you have to be loud? Well, Jesus is the best example of anything Christian, isn't it? Who in the days of his flesh, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, when he had offered up what? He offered up prayers and supplications with what? Strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Hallelujah. So Jesus prayed with strong cryings. Strong crying. Strong crying must have been loud. Hallelujah. He prayed with strong cries, and so can we as Christians. There is a difference between meditation and prayer. Some people claim to pray in their minds. What is the difference between praying in your mind and meditation? Bishop says, I think there is no difference. I'm not saying that you must always shout when you pray. 90% of the time, you cannot hear me when I am praying. I usually pray very quietly, but there are times when I pray with strong cries and tears. It's a dimension you must get into. So it's a type of prayer, do you understand? That you must pray. When we go to a place, and I'm trusting God, as we go into the new year or next year, we're going to go to some place and have a root camp. You know, where we spend all day praying. You know, those kinds of situations, you need strong cries. Amen. You need strong cries. See, even the early morning prayer, sometimes you need strong cries just to keep yourself awake. Do you get it? Because sometimes your spirit is awake, but your body, which houses that spirit, is still sleeping. Isn't it? The spirit wants to speak and wants to express itself, but these lips won't open. Isn't it? Flesh share. Hallelujah. So one of the ways to keep yourself awake is to pray loudly. Isn't it? It is difficult to pray loudly and fall asleep at the same time. Hallelujah. When you pray loudly, when you're praying with other people and you pray loudly, you even encourage them. When you encourage them to pray, they in turn encourage you to pray. Because the fervency in their prayer keeps you also praying. Hallelujah. It's like a machine gun that's turned on. You can hear them praying and roaring, and you also feel like praying, and you just encourage one another, and iron sharpeneth iron in that type of situation. Hallelujah. So that is one of the reasons why you need to pray out loud. Some people just argue, say, we can't hear your prayer. But it doesn't mean I'm not praying. It doesn't mean, that's not what it's about. Hallelujah. Stop being so defensive. Do you get it? Jesus prayed loudly, and there's nothing wrong with expecting you to pray loudly. Hallelujah. But sometimes you need to pray loudly just to help yourself. And sometimes the way you look and your posture, you are obviously in need of help. You see what I'm saying? And someone next to you could help you by praying out loudly. Amen. Then finally, quickly, number 8, the prayer of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hallelujah. In everything give thanks. Every Christian must learn to be thankful. Do you understand? We must learn to be thankful. We must learn to be thankful. Now, people find it difficult to give thanks because not all the situations feel worthy of thanks. Do you see what I'm saying? So you see, there's another verse in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Let's read that verse real quick before we bring the curtain down on the message. Ephesians chapter 5. It says, giving thanks always for all things. Do you see that? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in one instance, he says, give thanks for things. In another instance, he says, give thanks in things. Isn't it? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, you must give thanks in everything. Do you understand? And then the other one says, you must give thanks for everything. Hallelujah. Now, when the situation feels good, it's very easy to give thanks for it. You understand? If you come home from work and suddenly your green card application has been approved and there's a letter in the mail or something like that saying that your green card application is sorted out, you don't have to worry about it anymore, it's going to come to you, the real thing is coming in the mail in 2 days or 3 days or 3 weeks, whatever, you feel very happy and it's easy to give thanks for it. Isn't it? It's easy to, the Lord is moving. You see, so the Lord is moving. My green card has come. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wonder how God feels when we, you know, tag his move to such little and flimsy occurrences. Hallelujah. You know, when it's before you, it looks very big. When the Lord puts it behind you, it looks very small. Hallelujah. But anyway, when the thing feels good, you get a pay raise, it's easy to give thanks for it. You know, you're blessed with a new car, it's easy to give thanks for it. You have a new baby, and it's the gender you dreamed about. You wanted to have a boy so bad, and the Bible, or the doctor tells you you're having a boy, and then true comes December 25th, your baby pops out and it's a boy. Wow, you feel so happy. It's easy to give thanks for it. Amen. But you see, when it doesn't feel good, then now you need to give thanks in it. Do you understand? When it's harder to give thanks for it, you are still expected to give thanks. Do you understand? But this time, God says, you give thanks in it. That much as you may not be able to give thanks for it. Because sometimes when you've lost a close friend, you've lost a loved one, it's difficult to give thanks for it. You know, even as a preacher, once I was at a funeral and I found myself, Father, we thank you so much. And in the course of the prayer, I was just wondering, where is this going? What am I trying to say? People are sitting here, everybody is crying, and now I'm coming to give thanks. What exactly? So I had to find some other way to just... Now, see, you have to be good at all kinds of prayer. You know, so I'm sure that I had to dodge and kind of find some other way to direct the prayer. Hallelujah. But to a human mind, it's like this is not one of the give thanks for situations. But even if you can't give thanks for it, God still says give thanks in it. Hallelujah. So learn to give thanks in it. You know, and Jesus modeled that so well. In fact, if you read on, it says, God wants us to give thanks. Apart from the usual give me prayers, God would love to hear some other types of prayers. He would love to hear you say thank you. Discover the power of thanking the Lord. As you thank Him, you will experience many breakthroughs. Paul and Silas were in jail. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas were in jail, but they prayed and sang praises at midnight. Do you see that? And they gave thanks to God at midnight. Suddenly there was an earthquake and their chains were broken. This is the power of the prayer of thanksgiving. Even in the midnight of your life, a prayer of thanksgiving is appropriate. There are times in which it must be the most powerful type of prayer you can offer. It is the prayer that leads to earthquakes and broken bands. Move into this type of prayer and experience God's breakthrough for your life. There is no darkness that can keep you down. There is no midnight that can keep you bound when you learn how to give thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. So Paul and Silas are a classic example of people who were giving thanks when everybody else would have been crying and wondering and lamenting and saying that God has given up on me and God has not helped me. Hallelujah. But they gave thanks. They said, well, we can't say, Lord, we are grateful. Thank you for putting us in jail. I don't know who prays like that. But in any case, they were still thankful. And they were able to, in the midst of the situation, give thanks to God. That it's not great, it doesn't feel great, but Lord, I just want to give thanks to you. Hallelujah. Jesus modeled this particular thing very, very beautifully. You know, we were just reading how Jesus behaved. John chapter 11 verse 41 and verse 42. You know, his best friend is dead. He's at a funeral. And his best friend is dead. Verse 41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. Can you see that? At a funeral, you know, he said, Father, I thank thee. So really, when I was praying, I thank you at the funeral, I wasn't that wrong after all. It's just that I didn't have the courage to continue. Hallelujah. But Jesus is at a funeral and his best friend, when you read the Bible, says that he loved him so much. In fact, this is the place where we read that Jesus wept. Wow. It's one of the few places in the Bible, if at all, if there are any others at all, where the Bible says Jesus wept. And when Jesus was crying, he was crying because his friend, you know, was dead. That was a home where he could go and eat and relax. You know, when you're a preacher, you can't just eat everywhere. You see what I'm saying? But you have some homes where you get to and you can be yourself and just relax, and whatever is brought you can eat and just... And Lazarus' home was one of those places to Jesus. A place where he could be and not watch his words. Because everywhere else, he went to some Pharisees' party, and as he was eating, some people came to ask, your disciples, they eat, they don't wash their hands. Where is that in the scriptures? Why are they not fasting? You know, some people, they expect if you're a pastor, you should be fasting all the time. So they saw Jesus and your John the Baptist disciples were fasting, but your disciples, they don't fast. And they eat, they haven't washed their hands. You know, so you have to watch yourself all the time. Was in another place, a lady came, and the way she was crying all over him and so on, it brought a whole other problem. Do you see what I'm saying? But here was one place where Jesus could just go to and just relax and be himself and even share the word while he's waiting. The food is not ready, but he's just waiting and relaxing. And when such a person dies, it gets to you. And yet, when Jesus has to pray in that place, he begins by giving thanks. He says, Father, I thank you. I'm grateful to you that you hear me and you hear me. I'm grateful. I said, this doesn't feel good, but I'm grateful. Hallelujah. Then the last one is in John chapter 6, where you see Jesus praying in the face of shortage. John chapter 6. So go to John chapter 6 real quick before we start sharing the grace in exactly 3 minutes. John chapter 6. Have you found John chapter 6? John chapter 6. And let's read from verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Hallelujah. So here, Jesus is praying and giving thanks in the face of shortage. Can you see that? When it takes more to meet your needs than what you have. When you find yourself in a situation where what you have or what you need to have is not what you have. What you actually have is far less than what you need or what you have at the bank. Hallelujah. Or what you have in your house. Hallelujah. When who he is not enough. Because sometimes it's not something, it's a person. It's not something, it's someone who is not enough of what you need him or her to be. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Because sometimes you think you've got this, but he's not. You have a husband, but look, it's not like it should be. You see what I'm saying? Or you have a wife, but look at it. It's not like it should be. That thing, there's a shortage. That thing is not as much as you need. Your needs are not covered fully by having this person. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that is when we come to a crossroad where we have to choose between complaining and giving thanks. Hallelujah. And in the case of Jesus, when he had loaves that were much fewer than the number of people who were waiting to eat it, the Bible says he took it. And the Bible says he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he started distributing it. He said, it's not enough, but I'm grateful for it. Hallelujah. Sometimes the job doesn't pay enough, but you have to be grateful for it. Sometimes you could use a few more customers, but you have to be grateful for what you have. Do you understand? Sometimes it doesn't drive like a car should drive, but you have to give thanks for it anyway. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't have enough money at the bank. You don't have enough money for the bills ahead, or you feel like you don't earn enough. After working and getting tired and getting very, very tired, sometimes it's very disappointing when you look at what paycheck such tiredness draws. You know, you can't believe how little you have earned compared to how tired you are. You see what I'm saying? You are so tired that you can't even rejoice at the paycheck. It's so small compared to how much you put in. You see what I'm saying? But you have to give thanks. You have to give thanks for not enough members. You have to give thanks that you have a church anyway. You have to give thanks for not such a large choir. Or the choir is not so fantastic sounding. But you have to give thanks. You have to give thanks even when your pastor is not such a preacher. He's not like a Bishop T.D. Jakes. Or even though he's called Joel, it looks like there's another Joel that preaches better. You see what I'm saying? But you have to give thanks for whatever Joel you have. You see what I'm saying? You have to give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, and give thanks. Give thanks when it is not enough. In fact, this type of thanksgiving, you will find that to be more common in your life. If you follow it, you will be giving thanks much more often than the other type of thanksgiving. Because if you look at your life, you see you have to endure more things than you get to rejoice for what is given to you. Isn't it? So you have to give thanks. You have to give thanks. You have to give thanks when you're fired from the job. You have to give thanks. Not for it if you don't want to, but at least in it. You say, Lord, I don't feel good, and I don't think I can tell you I'm happy that they threw me out of this job. But you know, I'm in it anyway, and I want to give thanks. Hallelujah. Whether it's for it, by it, whatever you choose, decide what you want to place after the thanks. But Lord, I just want you to know I'm thankful. Hallelujah. You have to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, and you will open a door for unprecedented breakthroughs in your life. Paul and Silas were surprised. They were surprised. I don't think when they were praising God, they were even doing it with the expectation that an angel was coming to take them out of prison. They were just being Christians. They just had a good attitude. They had been to one of the services where their pastor had preached and said that you need to give thanks both for it and in it. And they said to each other, brother, what are we going to do here? We can't quite give thanks for it, but we are in it. So let's give thanks anyway. And to their shock, an angel of the Lord came and grabbed them out of that situation. As you give thanks in your situations, to your surprise, God is going to come through for you. God is going to open a door that you thought was closed. God is going to split open the curtain that has kept you out. God will remove every obstacle that has stood between you and your dreams as you give thanks in whatever situation you're in. Hallelujah. So learn to give thanks. Amen. Learn to give thanks to the Lord, and He's going to bless you greatly. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close this afternoon. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, bow your heads with me and let's pray. And just give thanks to God. Father, we thank you. Everybody just give thanks today. Give thanks. However you feel, just give thanks. Whatever is going on, give thanks. Whatever you're going through, give thanks. Whether for it or in it, just give thanks. Just give thanks and say, Lord, I am grateful. God loves thankful people. God loves thankful people. When Jesus healed 10 lepers and they went away, and only one of them came back to give thanks, Jesus was asking for the 9. He said, where are the 9? Wasn't anybody else grateful? Wasn't anybody else grateful for what I did for them? God is looking every day for your thanks. He's looking every day and is just wondering, are you grateful at all for what He's done for you? And I want you to decide to be one of the grateful ones today by giving thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the choir. I thank you for my faith. I thank you for my circumstances. Say, Lord, I have debt, but I'm grateful. I don't know how I'm going to pay my fees and how I'm going to pay my tuition. I don't know where things are going to come from, but I am grateful. Lord, it doesn't feel good, but I am grateful. Say, Lord, I'm crying today, but I'm grateful. I don't have enough. He's not enough. She's not enough. not mother enough, not father enough, not husband enough, not sister enough, not wife enough. My needs are much more than he's capable of providing or meeting. I need much more than I'm getting out of here. But I want to be grateful. I want to say thank you to you. I want to say thank you to you. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful to you this afternoon, Lord. We're grateful to you for this church. We're grateful for a place where we can hear the word of God Sunday after Sunday in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, that it is well, it is well with my soul. Grateful to you this afternoon because you have taught us that it doesn't take all our ducks lined up in a row for us to give thanks. It doesn't take a perfect life for a heart to be grateful. You have taught us that whatever our lot, whatever lies on our plate, whatever is in front of us, whatever has befallen us, we still have good grounds and we still can find good cause to be grateful to you. And that is why we thank you this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, for the good things, the feel-good things, the things that have brought a good feeling. We thank you for those things. But Lord, not everybody is experiencing a breakthrough this day. Not everyone hearing this message is going through a great time and a great season. But even in that, you have taught us that in everything we must give thanks. And we know that not every situation feels good, but you still say that we must give thanks. So this afternoon, we are saying thank you to you. We are thankful to you, Lord, this afternoon. Because we can say it is well. It is well with our souls because as we give thanks, we see that we are setting ourselves up for great breakthroughs, which are exceeding above and abundantly above what we are able to imagine or think. We know that you can come through for us in more ways than we can even expect. That help will arise and come towards us from angles that we never imagined or expected. Because you are that kind of a God. You are a God who surprises his people. You're a God who does exceedingly abundantly above what your people are able to think or ask, oh God. You are a God who raises even the dead, even the dead, even the dead comes to life because God says so. So with you, we know that nothing is impossible. That is why we continue to give thanks. We thank you for our church. We thank you for church growth. We thank you for members. We thank you for souls. We thank you that the church is increasing and multiplying, is increasing in stature and in wisdom. And the Spirit of God is upon the church. And favor is multiplying with God and with man. Thank you for such a blessing. Thank you for the lives of everyone here. Thank you for everyone who was able to make it today. Thank you, Lord, for the Christmas season. Thank you for allowing us to see another Christmas. We're grateful to you. We're grateful to you, oh God. Bless us this day and keep our hearts thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.